You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
Hello from Colombia. This is Colombia Calling, episode 286 of the Colombia Calling podcast with me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Mompox, Bolivar. I remain up here in the Caribbean coastal region trying to get my renovated house ready and get it generating some income because it's been about 5 years. Well, we've stopped and we've started and we've stopped and we started, but we're so close now. But anyway, on this episode 286, we have very special guest on the line from Bogota, Tania Valbuena, and she is a science journalist here in Colombia, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the work of science journalists here in Colombia and around the region. It's got a real focus on the global south, which to me is something very positive when the region works together in terms of trying to improve the lives of others. So we'll be talking to Tania Valbuena at the third segment of this show. Of course, in the second segment, we'll have the inimitable Adrian Alsema, director of Columbia Reports, giving us the news from Columbia. Of course, as I say every week, throw some dollars at it, become a Patreon sponsor, ensure that independent press continues to thrive in Colombia and hold people to account. With regards to holding people to account, I've written a short blog on my website. It's at richardmccall.com with a little bit of a complaint towards the mainstream press in Colombia, the Colombian press, for doing such lightweight work towards holding those in power to account. I think it's something that we could work towards is being able to question more of our political, social, and economic leaders in this country. But anyway, I'm not going to get further bogged down with that right now. I'm going to leave you with Adrian Alsema in Medellin, who will give you the news update, and then we'll be back with Tania Valbuena talking about some very exciting news coming out of Bogota and Medellin and her work as a science journalist. So this is episode 286. Thank you again for listening. Bye-bye.
My name is Adrian Alsema, and this is the news for Colombia Calling for August 13, 2019. Colombia's national indigenous organization has declared a humanitarian emergency, claiming they are the victim of a genocide. The ONIG said Friday that 158 indigenous leaders have been assassinated since a peace deal with left-wing guerrilla group FARC in December 2016. 94 of these victims have been murdered after President Iván Duque took office a year ago. The day after the announcement, armed men assassinated 3 indigenous guards and injured 7 others in an attempted massacre in Cauca, where much of the violence has taken place. Colombia's cocaine exports may have gone up 30% last year, according to official statistics. The United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime said last week that cocaine production went up 6% last year. Colombia's Defense Ministry reported a 5% drop in cocaine seizures. Consequently, potential exports of the illicit drugs could have gone from 623 metric tons in 2017 to 706 last year. U.S. President Donald Trump urged the resumption of aerial fumigation of coca in Colombia while certifying the country as cooperative in the war on drugs. Trump complimented his Colombian counterpart Iván Duque for his early progress in rolling back the record-high coca cultivation and coca production levels. The U.S. president has made a 180-degree turn since March when he claimed cocaine productions increased after Duque took office. The FARC deserter who killed his commander and revealed the fake demobilization of a non-existent guerrilla front was reportedly left unprotected by his bodyguards before his assassination earlier this month. According to newspaper El Tiempo, Rojas filed a criminal complaint because he had been deserted by his bodyguards 3 days before his death. This contradicts claims by the National Protection Unit, which has said the former guerrilla voluntarily abandoned his security detail. Rojas deserted from the FARC in 2008 after killing Ivan Rios, the commander of the former guerrilla group's Northwestern Bloc. He later revealed that the 2006 demobilization of the Cacica La Gaitana front was fake, spurring former peace commissioner Luis Carlos Restrepo to flee the country in an attempt to evade justice. The Supreme Court magistrate who was investigating former President Alvaro Uribe has been separated from all investigations against the controversial politician. The State Council ruled that magistrate Cristina Lombana had a conflict of interest. When she was army major, she was the subordinate of Uribe, who has more than 24 criminal investigations pending in the Supreme Court. Lombana lost access to the former president's files after it was revealed that she used to work for Uribe's defense attorney. The corruption scandals that have decimated the top command of Colombia's National Army have now reached the commander of the 4th Brigade, one of the most important army units in the country. The arrest of former General Jorge Romero revealed that his successor in Medellin, General Juvenal Diaz, had ordered to provide his predecessor with classified police information. Diaz succeeded Romero in December and has previously been investigated for his alleged role as a mid-level commander of a paramilitary death squad in the Santander province. That's the end of this week's news bulletin. Now back to the Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, in Mompox, Bolivar. That's right, I'm still up here on the sultry, sweaty Colombian Caribbean coast, and this is episode 286 of the Colombia Calling podcast. And yes, as I let you know in the first segment of this show, we have a very special guest on the show. She was referred, and so this is a big thank you, to science journalist Andrew White, and he referred me to Tania Valbuena, who's a Colombian scientific journalist, and they have so much to talk about in Colombia. Of course, you know that Colombia is one of the most mega-diverse countries, and there's all sorts of interesting projects going on around the country that science journalists and scientists are involved in to try and, you know, improve conditions of life for those communities out there in the regions and, of course, where there's no or very little state presence. And so we're very honored to have on the line from Bogota, Tania Valbuena, and I know that she's in a hurry because she's coming up to Montería in Córdoba to do another job, so she's quite the jet setter. We're very lucky to have her on the line. So, Tania, welcome on Colombia Calling.
Hi, Richard. Thank you very much for your invitation, and we're really happy to be here.
No, it's a real pleasure to have you, Tania. Listen, you know, interesting background you have. Perhaps you'd like to tell my listeners a little bit of how you became a science journalist.
Yes, history, but I am an epidemiologist and master in public health first. I worked with the Colombian Army for more than 5 years, working as the public health coordinator at the national level. When the epidemics arrived in Colombia, like, dengue, Zika, chikungunya, I am an epidemiologist, I was really tired of seeing only number and statistics of the people saying sick of death. But as the master in public health, I was working with create a strategy of promotion and prevention through communication campaigns. This was a way for me to talk about the health issues in magazine, radio, give talk, and other media's community, you know. And it all was work, our focuses, and attending probation and contain epidemics, you know. And this is the best decision for me because in that moment, I understand that the good education and good information can save lives. For that reason, I realize other campaign and you can listen to me?
Yeah, I'm listening. I think it's fascinating, Tanya. What I like is this is going to help me immensely because my wife is an epidemiologist and she's doing her master's in public health. So I'm going to keep your contact so that we can, you know, maybe hopefully do some work together.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I learned that the good information save life. For that reason, my time working with the army led me to travel through my country and know the reality of the people now. I know with a lot of money and good access to health and healthy condition, and another that doesn't not have any drink water. And it was a hard job because I got to know the world and in that years, but it was an opportunity to know what can I need to do for my country now. The journalist was away because if you can communicate the people the perfect way to help others, you can do a good job. And I left the army and started studying the digital and journalism. And then I worked to the two digital radio station in my country. I continued to advise on communication issues and give lectures talking about the well-being and health for about 2 years. I then traveled to USA and now on M+1, my company. And there I worked as a journalist in the health journalist. But I started writing health topics a half ago. And in this year, I visit in the different museums and technology first in the USA and be to fall in love with these issues such as environment, technology, and obviously health. In this year, I traveled again to the magazine to Peru and Brazil and then returned to Colombia. And the panorama is really different because I returned to see the realities because I have been a volunteer of foundation and returned to visit one and connect with the reality of my country is the social inequalities, you know. There I realized that are the people who read an online magazine like M+1, but there are other than do not even have internet. You know, in USA, you are working internet with a 5G connection, but in Colombia, you can know zones with 3G connection. And in this moment, this year, I see that the children grow up without this information. And I say, we must save lives with the good information. We must work with this community and that they know other technological advances in Latin America and that these motivate them to understand the science and find ways to resolve their old social problems. No? There is the project of working with the vulnerable communities was to empower them and make them resilient and resilient communities.
Yeah. So, Tanya, tell us a little bit about your time in the army, because 5 years is a long time. You were a professional.
Yeah. Yeah. But I am a younger, younger journalist. But yes, I have a lot of years working with public health.
Yeah. No, but the army gave
and these communities too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But you are a Bogotana, right?
Yeah, I am from Bogota, but my heart is all Colombian because I travel around my country in that years when I was working with the army.
So, Tanya, tell us a little bit. I mean, it's very interesting that you came up through the army, and then you moved into, let's say, epidemiology and public health, and now you're a science writer. I know one of the things that you write about, one of the big projects you work on, is that of resilient communities. Could you tell us a little bit about resilient communities?
Yeah. We were working with the partner foundations, with the community. In Brazil, we can work with communities. We have project with the environment, like, and is like this is permacultura. I don't know say what in English permacultura.
Yeah.
But yeah. In Peru, we can know with the journalists in different zones like Cusco.
Yeah.
And right now, we are working with the community Afro-Colombian in Usme, Bogota, with the FDF Foundation. This is a six-month project training volunteers with the community teachers and social leaders, and of course the children, to hold to communicate the science. This project, they have because this community have one project, the sustainable ecological gardens, and we can tell themselves how the science and the basic technology helps them overcome their needs and opens up opportunity for them. No? And so themselves can call the attention of the government or private actors to find resources and support them. They have a very good ideas and creativity, and these are the stories that the world must know. In Colombia, we have very intelligent people who work without research but do wonderful things. Good the people and people who want to progress. This is the time to help. The children tell their life histories of their conflicts, but with the ideas they can resolve. They are expressing their creative solution, and this story is amazing work when you can talk with the children and share this information in my online magazine can do real this dream that this community they maybe call the action to government a private actor to find research for them. No.
Yeah. So the work you're doing, I mean, these people from the Afro Colombian communities in Usme are very much at risk. You know, these are communities at risk and impoverished, as you say. These are people who've been displaced from their original territories?
Yeah, they are the community was a big problem with the conflict in Colombia, no? They are the Chocó. And, you know, and then this conflict, they traveled to Bogota, and in this moment, we are rolled in Bogota with this context, difficult context, because yeah. You know, it's sad, but it exists right now. Discriminatory people yeah. with these communities, and is need to do something. No, yeah. I think it's. There is something very important for the newspaper company today. It's the communication with the people where our message still doesn't matter. Those communities where there is no internet today, where we must make Netherlands reach these places where they need us. Vulnerable rural and urban communities through interinstitutional and interdisciplinary work in cooperation with the community organization, academic, and other who wish to join forces is a good job. We know that the knowledge is the way for them to have a better quality of life, no? I think that we are in the technological boom. We will have a better technologies in the future to communicate more, but also the reality in this context of social context or reality Latin American control is the poverty, epidemics, climate change, violence. The current problems are those that represent the global objectives that we're, I don't know, all people you need to answer and question about what are we doing, mm-hmm. no? Mm-hmm. And we want to help scientists, organizations, to make this chain real, no? Where they're working with the community, with the scientists, and we want to scientists knowledge to be accessible and attractive, but with a social impact that will contribute to social development. No? Yeah.
I think what you're doing, obviously, by exposing and you know, sharing this information and publicizing the work of these scientists, of course, is incredibly important. Do you get help from the government for this?
Right now, no. Only I was talking with the UNESCO, US UNESCO, in Uruguay, for maybe partnership with this project, because in UNESCO have the line the popularization of the science, and we are talking with them about this project, but right now I don't have answer in this moment, but we are the continue this conversation with this important actor, because they have the line to work with these communities, no?
Yeah. Well, UNESCO would be a great partner to have on this, and I know that in Montevideo there's a small but very, I would say, have a loud voice, the sort of Afro-Uruguayan community there, and so there could be something that you connect between the Chocoanos and the Afro.
Yeah, because UNESCO, if you work with UNESCO, you can reply this project in other countries, yeah. like Brazil, Peru, and others. With the same reality, no? You know, Latin America is the same problem.
Well, I want to say something, is that what I like the most here is that I know that you've been up to the US to study and to visit and stuff, but what I like the most is that you seem to be taking these projects in a very much south-south, let's say, methodology, you know, Colombia helping Brazil helping Colombia, Peru helping Uruguay, Colombia. It's important, this regional support.
Yeah. It's a responsibility to can connect the different realities and maybe do a big solution, no? When you can take a different context and different people help you all time is a good team to do change in this part of the world.
Yeah. Talking about Uzme, I mean, you know, you're not from Uzme. How do they receive you there? Because I've been to Uzme on a couple of occasions. Of course, I'm, you know, a tall gringo.
Wow, Uzme is, I want to the people, imagine right now, close their eyes, and I want to imagine that Uzme is a neighborhood without a good, with, good infrastructure, no? Huh. Not a building, it's only houses without the normal and perfect things, no? Is you can look at these houses without maybe good doors, good windows, and when you look their houses, you can find families with 10 people in one room live here. It's crazy. And families with maybe 5 children. Oh, it's wow. It's, you can feel the difficulties these families know, because you have a big house or big apartment and you live with I don't know, with a bedroom and with a good kitchen and a good bathroom. Okay, but they only have one room, maybe a little kitchen. And it's crazy to look when you can take their community have a good water, no? Or maybe don't have good light to study in the night. You can look around, you don't have beautiful trees or flowers. No, you only look it's sad. It's maybe it's sad when you look this form to live now in this year, because this year is the technological things, but other parts of the world don't have anything to live good every day. It's difficult to work with this community because for example, no? I am Tanya, journalist all time, and reading of technology and the different level of the science, but this community don't need this because only need to know what happened with their lives day for day. It's different countries, no?
It's a day-to-day existence, which is, of course, very precarious.
Yeah, for that reason, you need to work with your heart when done with your mind, because you need to understand all with your context. What happened with the children, what happened with the mothers, what happened with this context, what is the way to work with them, because maybe they want to, or maybe her dream only is have good food today. But you need to show that we can maybe different things if only it can maybe study and do good things in their community, like garden, no? You know that this is the garden for have a healthy food, yeah? No? Or maybe learn to write and do, old books about their old realities. Yeah. And it's really interesting because the children's tell their life stories interesting them.
You feel
you can learn more than they are really, because all time I left this neighborhood with a smile face because it's really too comfortable for me to work with their communities and change.
While you're helping, I think you learn more, don't you? You learn more about the people in your country.
Yeah, I learn, of course, because they can see the life different, no? Because they are happy without a smartphone, without technologies. It's amazing because they can happy only listen a good music and dancing Afro-Colombian things. And it's to learn that the happiness in your life is easy to find. To do something good for the people now.
Different definitions of happiness, definitely, for what you and I are accustomed to, what people
probably.
It's reaffirming, isn't it? It helps you learn humility, I think. But let's talk. These are resilient communities and vulnerable communities. So you travel around the country. What are you coming up to do in Monteria?
Monteria. Today I traveled to Monteria because I was working with Invermar is institute to science to research about the sea, no? Diverse problems of the sea in Colombia. And it's a good experience because we then can show their projects about the how can work with the chains or with the problems in our water, no? It's a good opportunity to know what are doing our scientists in these cases, because the problems in the sea right now is the contamination and the climate change is crazy when you know what happened in countries like Colombia with these important issues, no? Because around the world we are working for sustainable development goals, and you need to know what happened in Colombia, no?
Yeah, definitely. So what you've got some really exciting news, and I understand that a few weeks ago you guys, along with Andrew White, who's been on the show, you guys won the honor of hosting a congress in 2021 in Medellin.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing news. Because I had the opportunity to go as I was a scholarship for Colombia. Yeah. And I am part of the Scientist Journalism Association in Colombia, and I was able to support and be part of the team of the global proposal to win the headquarters in Medellin, Colombia. We participate against Canada, a great competitor. And it was not easy to beat him, but but Colombia win is the most important things because our proposal was innovate in the format and the proposal because we focus on the three issues of the biodiversity, science for the peace, and multiculturalism.
Yeah.
That we can show the ecological well of Latin America and show how important the science is for the advancement of developing countries, and they have suffered violence like Colombia, no? And finally, give a visibility to ethnic, gender, and cultural minorities in general, no? A fact that the was a guarantee to participation of 50% men speakers and 50% women speakers, and these percentage and other percentage population of the global south. I think this is the most important reason to Colombia win, because Colombia want to cooperate with this global south and show the best of Latin America for the world, no?
Wonderful. So this will take place in Medellin in 2021. And what can we expect? How many people will come, do you think?
Oh, it's a really good question, because I expect more people than Switzerland this year, because you know Colombia is cheaper. Colombia, you have a good weather. Colombia had many things want to know when you live in Europe or you live in USA, you know, because it's really different. Like other countries, the first world. And Medellin have a magic, because right now have a good infrastructure and can receive many people. Like, I think 1,000 or I think people, because it's really close to American countries, and I think it's a good place to visit, because I think that Colombia are in the middle of the world, it's a point in the middle of the world, and I think there are more people than Switzerland. I think in Medellin is a really good place to visit. And I want to all journalists in the world can visit Medellin or pull Medellin in journalists for that year.
So finishing up here, Tanya, are you already working on the organization for this Congress?
I am working with a. You can repeat, please.
Are you already organizing things for the Congress?
Yeah. I am organizing. I am the part of this committee. I am the responsible of the logistical things, like the marketing, like the communication, like the field trips. This was my job. But in this moment, we are working really, because you know, 2 years is really close.
Yeah.
When it's a big a congress like this congress, because it's the World Science World Congress Science Journalism, and my responsibility is the logistic. It's really hard job.
It's a really hard job.
Yeah, but I love this, because you know my job is connect the people. I feel really good we can do that, connect the people for the good things.
Well, really, really upbeat story, and what a nice way to end to talk about this success story of Medellin now hosting the 2021 World Science Journalist Congress. I mean, it's a huge deal, and you know, more should be said about this, and you and your team who work together so diligently to, you know, beat out the likes of Canada to win this hosting this award. I mean, this award, this Congress, is really, really excellent. And also, I congratulate you in your work with these vulnerable communities in places like Uzme. It's not an easy place. It's not an easy place to go. So you know, this is phenomenal news and positive news out of Colombia. And I love that there's an impact and an influence. You're trying to create science for peace, because of course it's a topic and it's very close to my own heart as a conflict resolution specialist and journalist on those issues. I love that there's, you know, obviously the element for peace. And so let me just take this moment to congratulate you on all of your achievements and also say thank you so much, Tania Valbuena.
Thank you. Thank you for your invitation, and only for finish, you remember now, it's important to know that the communication is a way of saving life.
Perfect, wonderful. So thank you, Tania Valbuena. I will post the links to your magazines and to the Congress on the Facebook page and on Twitter and so on. Thank you again to Andrew White for putting us in contact. You can check out Andrew White's articles online, and also Tania Valbuena's as well. This has been episode 286 of the Columbia Calling podcast. It's been a science dedicated show, and it's been really, really interesting to hear about what science journalists are doing here in Colombia. So I'm signing off for this week. We'll be back next week with a further interview for episode 287 of the Columbia Calling podcast. Get in touch at columbiacalling@gmail.com or at Twitter, Columbia Calling, or on the Facebook page. Thank you again for listening. Bye-bye.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.